I invite you to turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. As it is our practice, when we have communion, we'll only spend a brief time looking at the scriptures, and particularly a passage that will give us an opportunity to focus on the meaning of the sacrament and how we ought to come to the table as God's people. And 1 Corinthians chapter 11 is a text which we have read many times here in this context, and you have heard expounded many times from different angles, but today we will once again look at this familiar text, but from a very specific point of view, looking at one specific point, which will be clear to you in just a moment. But we'll read verses 23 through 26. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. We'll end our reading at that point. In this short passage that recounts the institution of the Lord's Supper, the words of the Lord Jesus himself are recorded here, in which he tells us twice that we are to do this in remembrance of him. Verse 24, Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And in verse 25, This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. And so in the words of Christ himself, and in no uncertain terms, we see one of the central meanings of the sacrament. One of the main things that we are doing when we take this cup and this bread, we are called to remember the Lord Jesus as we do this. And we are told the thing specifically that we are to remember is him. Now, what does it mean to remember him? And what does it mean to do this, to eat this bread and to drink this cup in remembrance of him? How do you do anything in remembrance of someone else? That is the question that we're going to think about today. And in one sense, the question almost seems too simple to ask. What does it mean to remember something? Well, it means call to mind. To recollect. That's what we talk about when we talk about remembering anything. You recall it. You recollect something in your mind. But the Bible itself gives us various important dimensions to the act of remembrance. In fact, it's a very important word in the scriptures. We are called to remember many different things in many different contexts. And in the life of faith, the act of remembering is much more than simply calling something to mind, i.e. the opposite of forgetting. But it envisions an act of worship, and it envisions really a discipline of the faith. So we're going to spend a few minutes today asking and answering the question, hopefully, what does it mean to remember the Lord Jesus Christ as we come to this table? The Bible gives us commands and always explains how we are to follow them. They're never sort of vague commands. You are to love the Lord your God. And it always teaches us how to love him. If it teaches us to remember Christ when we come to this table, it will always show us how to remember him as well. So, three very simple points today. We'll look at the three facets of biblical remembrance before we come to the table in remembrance of him. First of all, the remembrance of the Lord means to heed his voice and to observe his ways. To heed his voice and to observe his ways. Now, as I said, This remembrance at the Lord's table does not envision a mere recollection of Christ, but a faithful adherence to Him. Let me give you a few examples of the use of this word remembrance in the Bible in this specific way. Psalm 119 is very rich with examples. For instance, Psalm 119, verse 52, the psalmist says, "I remember your ancient laws." Verse 55 of the same psalm says, "I remember your name, O Lord, and I will keep your law." Now, when the psalmist says, "I remember your law," he doesn't mean that he simply calls it to mind, that he didn't forget it. But there is a conscious resolve to conform to that law. And that's what he means by, "I remember your law." Not just that it's in here, but it has found its way in here. And he is going to heed that law that he remembers. And the psalmist says, "I remember your name." That is in a parallel line with this, "I will keep your law." To the psalmist, those were equal things. I will remember your name. I will keep your law. And so to remember God's name means to keep God's word. So remembrance in this sense very often means faithful adherence. Now here's another great example. The fourth commandment. You are commanded to remember something. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Now, obviously that doesn't mean just, "I remember the Sabbath day." Yeah, okay. And it's not a matter of recollection. To keep it holy explains what remembrance means. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. To remember it means to keep it holy. To observe it. To heed it. To have a commitment to it. And so when we remember the Lord Jesus Christ in the Lord's Supper, we are embracing and proclaiming a commitment to Him, a commitment to heed Him, a commitment to care for His ways, to take heed to His word, and to renew that commitment at the Lord's Supper. And so that is part of what we are doing here. We are renewing that commitment and proclaiming that commitment. To heed His word, to observe His ways. And so to truly do this in remembrance of Him, we must at the table, and when we go from the table, when we leave this place as well, we must embrace Him as Lord. We must endeavor after new obedience. We must truly, in that sense, remember Him. That is, follow Him. That is, heed Him. We remember Him by conforming to Him. And when we make this commitment at the Lord's table, and when we feed on Him in faith, there is grace given and there is strength given for us to do just that, to remember Him. Now, secondly, another way in which we are called to remember, another facet we see of this commandment in the Scriptures, is that a remembrance of the Lord entails or envisions a turning to Him in faith. The remembrance of the Lord envisions a turning to Him in faith. Several examples. Psalm 22, verse 27. All ends of earth will remember and turn to the Lord. What do they remember? All the ends of the earth remember and turn to the Lord. Well, remembrance and turning to the Lord are parallel ideas in that line. Now, here's a wonderful example coming from 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 8. Listen to what Paul says here, 2 Timothy 2, verse 8. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel. How does Paul use the word remember in this case? Remember this. Remember, he was raised from the dead according to my gospel. That Christ of the seed of David, remember this. He's not just telling you to call it to mind. He's telling you to believe in it. Obviously, he's using remember in the sense to believe in. That is, turn to Christ. Faith. In this case, equals remembrance. Have faith in this gospel. So the remembrance of the Lord has this very central meaning. Faith, not just recalling, but believing. Now, in this sense, you should remember Christ long before coming to the Lord's table. Faith in Him is the most fundamental prerequisite for the sacrament. But the sacrament is an occasion of the strengthening of our faith and the renewal of our faith, as well as the proclamation of our faith. And this is something to dwell upon and to soak in for a minute before you come to the Lord's table. And that is that the faith of the strongest Christian in this room, perhaps you have been in the faith longer than anyone else. You have grown in your sanctity longer than anyone else. Your faith, no matter who you are, is not what it should be. And that is something to ponder. That's something to think about right now. Your faith is not what it should be. So by remembering Him in the sacrament, we not only turn to Him in faith, but for faith. We turn to Him for its strengthening and for its increase. Now, in one sense, to say, do this in remembrance of me, means do this in faith. Have faith as you do it, with faith as a prerequisite. But as I said, in another sense, the sacrament itself highlights our need for greater faith. It highlights the fact that all of us have a faith that is not what it should be, that it should be growing and active and being strengthened. That is one of the reasons why we come to this table again and again and again. Think of the sacrifices of the Old Testament, how they were continual and they had to occur again and again and again. And we are told by the writer of Hebrews that that's because they were insufficient. You had to keep doing it again and again because it was never as though one of those things was sufficient. But now that Christ has come and His sacrifice is sufficient, there is no more need for any sacrifice. The one true sufficient sacrifice has been made, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ, which is one of the erroneous points of the Roman Catholic doctrine of this sacrament, is that they actually believe that each time the bread is broken, that Christ is, in a sense, sacrificed again. That is not true. Christ sacrifices once and for all. But then, why do we keep coming back to this table again and again and again? It's not because of anything insufficient in the work of Christ. It's not because of anything insufficient in His sacrifice. The insufficiency lies with us, you see. We are the ones who need more grace. We are the ones who have the faith that needs to be built. That's why we come back to this table and back to it again. Because our faith needs to grow. Our faith, your faith, is not what it should be. And that is why we have this continuous provision. That is why you always need to be in the means of grace. Sit under the teaching and the preaching of the word. Read the scriptures. Come to the Lord's table. Because your faith is in need of growth. So, do this in remembrance of me. Do it in faith and for faith's increase. And so this is an occasion to consciously and reverently seek an increase of faith, to remember Him, to turn to Him in faith, and to realize that your faith must increase. And finally, we see in the scriptures very often that remembrance is a proclamation of faith. Remembrance is a worshipful proclamation of faith. In the Psalms, the psalmist often speaks of remembering the Lord, remembering His mighty deeds that He has done, that not merely by recollecting them, but by recounting them and by proclaiming them in an act of worship. Now, the Apostle Paul takes remembrance and proclamation in his explanation of Christ's words in verse 26 of our text. He takes these two things as being equal. Look at again to our text in 1 Corinthians 11, where he explains the words of Christ in verse 26. But in verse 25, in the same manner, he also said, he took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, You proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. That's Paul's explanation of the words of Christ. Do this in remembrance of me. As you do it, you're proclaiming his death until he comes. And so to do this in remembrance of Christ is to proclaim him, and specifically the power and the efficacy of his death for our salvation. The thing that we proclaim is visualized in the elements, his broken body and his shed blood, that is to say, his death. That is proclaimed by us as our only hope and as the core element of the gospel. But while Paul explains the sacrament in terms of Christ's death, and Christ so obviously and specifically imputes the imagery of his death to the sacrament, we are not only to proclaim his death, we are to proclaim him. Look at what he says. Do this in remembrance of me. In verse 25, do this in remembrance of me, of Christ, his person, his work, not just his death. Yes, that's obviously the imagery here with the broken bread and the shed blood at the cup, obviously. But do this in remembrance of me, Jesus says. Not only what he has done, but who he is. He is not only the Savior who died on the cross. Obviously, he died for us. But he is the Lord of glory. He is the Son of God. He is the Prince of Peace. He is the humble servant and the perfect sacrifice who came to save us from our sins. He is the King of nations. He is the only mediator between God and man. He is the one through whom all things were made in this universe and in whom all things consist. He is the one, the only one, in whom the fullness of the Godhead dwells bodily. We are to remember him, the Lord Jesus Christ, as we come to this table. His glorious person, his perfect righteousness, his absolute power and sovereignty, his tender comfort, his intercession. We are to remember his mighty deeds and his miracles. We are to remember his tears. We are to remember his prayers. We are to remember his blood. We are to remember his cross. Remember him today at this table. Not merely by recollecting him, but by embracing him in all of his glory, by proclaiming his nature and his mighty deeds in an act of worship. And when you take the bread and when you lift that cup, you are doing something in remembrance of him, not just a mere motion, but an act of worship in which you proclaim him and his death. And so, how do we break bread in remembrance of him? Well, the remembrance he demands of us demands much more than our memory. First of all, it is the remembrance of heeding his voice and observing his ways, endeavoring after new obedience in life. Secondly, it is the remembrance of turning to him for the renewal and the strengthening of our faith. And thirdly, it is the remembrance that embraces and proclaims him in all of his revealed glory as our one and only Savior. The remembrance of him is a faithful and obedient and shameless embrace of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so as you take this bread and as you take this cup, do so in remembrance of him. Let's bow in prayer. Father in heaven, enable us to remember the Lord Jesus Christ.